case number 10, 22-352. That's a Manchester case. Captain, can you please identify yourself for the record?
Good morning, Captain Sean Grant, Manchester Police Department, representing the Insurance Authority, GRANT.
You got that, Nancy?
I got it. Thank you.
Okay, Captain, would you like to make an opening statement?
Sure. The initial temporary permit was denied on the basis of suitability in four main categories. The first, individuals in the appellate's life made a recommendation that he not receive this permit. Two, mental health history. Three, a criminal arrest for domestic in Agawam, Massachusetts. And four, local cases out of our jurisdiction over the past few years.
Sir, do you still live in Manchester?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Would you like to make an opening statement?
Yes. I want to let on record to close that my case was dismissed in Agawam. I was falsely accused, and my lawyer got the whole thing. Like, it didn't even go to trial or anything. It was just dismissed. The witness that showed up due to the fact that there was other witnesses saying, making changes, statements and stuff like that. The mental health issue I do have, know this as a fact. But the other thing is, I've been seeing my therapist, and he actually said a lot of the medicine that I was on, due to the fact that they were from when I was a kid and never actually seen a therapist and just been put on the medicine, could have actually caused a lot of the homicidal and suicidal thoughts. The Flexine, the Adderall, the Trazodone, stuff like that I did have, he did say that that could actually affect that. And I just got another evaluation done through him, and he said, like, the only thing I have that he can see is from 2 years, from 2021 till now. He said, you just have bipolar, which is, like, he said, not, like, not manic or anything, like static. And I was like, what's static? Depression. And he's like, and he also said that I have anxiety, which I do know, that I get really nervous and stuff like that. The other thing that I did ask, because I noticed on, it said I was harassing the police when I just had general questions, because I was told by my family that I'm not allowed to, I'm a chef, so I go carry my own chef knives to work and I walk. I don't have a car. So I was being on the safe side, asking like the police if I can actually walk with chef knives in a roll-up bag, and would I get in trouble for that? And I also asked, because I also do archery, if I have a case and stuff like that, would I actually be able to walk with it? And the police did say that it's all right. There was other cases with my brother that me and my brother do not see eye to eye. My brother also has stolen stuff in the past, which I was worried about, and I did call the police on that, because it also says he did steal a Japanese dish, which was like $75, but I wasn't sure, like, the police said that they couldn't do anything unless it was like $10,000 or something like that, so I was like, okay. And my brother has actually threatened my life many times, so I did tell the police that as well, and my brother did say it to the police that he was being aggressive towards me. So I was trying to move myself out of the situation. That was the other thing. And the case that with my brother, I call him my brother, he's my foster brother. I was trying to help him because my foster mom actually had passed away, and my brother just turned 18 and he just signed himself out. And I was like, okay, let me help you out. I know what's going on. Let me help you, because it's a promise that I made to my mom. I call her my mom, if that makes sense. I do realize that there was a lot of things like in here that could, but I also want to let you know that if you actually look at the Hockenham Valley from 2001, it will show you the difference on how much I'm actually working towards doing everything I'm supposed to do.
Captain, you may proceed with your case.
So, as I explained, the four reasons, I'll start with reason one. Individuals that we received calls from, was an FBI agent who on behalf of the appellant's family, namely his sister-in-law and I believe mother-in-law, called and thought that his suitability was not in a good place because of his mental health history and some of the hospitalizations that he's had in the past. Understanding that his mother did participate in applying for the pistol permit at the same time. During that period, another complaint or testimony from his certified firearms instructor had concerns based on information that he had received through from dealing with the family, his mother being outside waiting while he was in class. I would say very marginal as far as concern to me. I'll admit that. I don't think his concerns were based on anything other than some of the things that were written inside his memo, which I think you guys probably had, mainly about his mother's discomfort being outside in the cold. Outside of that, number two, as the appellant mentioned, there was an episode in 2016 where he spent some time at Bay State Medical Center for homicidal and suicidal ideations, probably due to, at least from their account, non-compliance with medication, as the appellant stated. By the end of that, he did present thoughts of death, harming his brother with a plan. At the same time, by the time he left, he also had no fear of death, although the fear of homicide and suicide weren't as expressed as when he first came in. And also, past history of hospitalizations at Hockenham Valley Community Council verified that he has had issues with bipolar disorder, as explained, and disturbance of conduct. A criminal arrest, he's explained, and it is true through conversations with the arresting agency that those charges in court were dismissed. The charges at the time had been assault and battery and possession of a dangerous weapon. I believe sword and crossbow made threats to his brother, which his brother recanted later on. And then the local cases that we had recently were primarily between he and his family members, his sister. He was accused of telling his sister that his mother-in-law was going to have him killed. He denied that, and the mother claimed that he was lying, and mainly because of his lack of taking his medication and his bipolar condition.
Thank you, Captain. Sir, do you have any questions of the captain based on what he just testified to?
I know in Hockenham Valley they actually tied it down that I take medicine, but I do not take medicine.
Okay, we're going to get to your case in a moment. Do you have any questions for the captain?
About the mother being waited on site with the phone, I'm kind of confused on that because I did ask my mother if she wanted to come and she said no. She was in her car.
Are you able to answer that? Okay.
That all of that is true, and that's why I state that I believe the opinion of the certified firearm instructor really had no weight under that circumstance.
And I did have another question for you as well. You said my sister-in-law. From what I know, is you my sister? I never met my sister-in-law. I'm really confused on that.
I don't know.
I'm so sorry. I know my
family's
kind of
identified as that. I know you have like this his brother, his brother-in-law, family that a friend that are claimed to be brother. I can say a first name. I don't. That,
you can, as long as it's not his name.
Lindsay.
Lindsay Miller. Yeah, that's my sister. I just, like I said, I grew up in Foster. This is like my first time ever.
Other questions?
No.
Captain, do you have any other witnesses? Oh wait, board.
Captain, do you know the, and we could probably get it from the appellant later, but the, just two questions. Actually, so you received the call from an FBI agent. He was relating, let me just make sure I get it right. He was relating concerns from the family. He had no, did he, do you know if he had any personal interaction with the appellant?
No, just from family members calling. Okay. This was a few years ago, so I wasn't involved in the case specifically, but I'll just go off of the writing that I had.
And the second, if you know, if not, we'll get it from the appellant. The stay at Bay State, was that an emergency committal? Do you know what that was?
I know that I believe the appellant was there for a few days for evaluation. Mm-hmm. That's my understanding. The family called it in, and that I would assume that that was, but I'm not sure if it was voluntary or.
That's all I have.
Other questions by the board? I'm sorry, Captain, you did say no other witnesses.
No other witnesses.
Okay, sir, you can tell us what you'd like us to know.
Actually, the whole, throughout all my life, I did, like I said, I was in foster care. I never been in, like, been seen a therapist at all. When I was 6 years old, the first time I ever been in foster care, I was just thrown in meds. They told me that I had ADHD, I was bipolar. I was schizophrenic, and they threw me on all these types of meds. And I'm very concerned about my health. All the times that I've been in the hospital has been voluntarily, because I always seek, like, if I see, like, I'm concerned about, like, if I have these thoughts and stuff, I'm concerned, because I've been in a behavioral school, and I even asked my the people that were there, I was like, if I have these thoughts, is that normal? And they said, yes, it's normal. And I was like, why do I have these then? And I've been asking all these questions, stuff like that. And I bill my therapist that I see at Hoffman Valley. He's like, a lot of this, you were misdiagnosed. And they actually, if you look in some of these, they actually do say at CHR that I was misdiagnosed on a lot of it. And I've been trying to get the help that I need. Honestly, I've been asking questions, and I even got another evaluation done because I was like, Bill, I showed him all this, and I was like, what do I have, actually? I'm really concerned about that. And he's like, from everything that you tell me and what you did with Jack Murphy is you just have static depression. And I was like, what is that? He goes, and he's like, I looked it up and it said it's like normal depression, but I was like, I'm confused. And he's like, and I was like, do I have this? He's like, it's not like manic or anything like that. He goes, it's not like, I'm trying to word it the best way that I can, but I'm not really sure how. And I do apologize because my anxiety is going on as well, so I do apologize. He said that it's like you have high energy a lot of times, and it doesn't go down. You get excited easily. When you're happy, you get super excited that you don't realize other people's emotions. And I was like, I never understood that, because I was always told that emotions are part of your head, and you have to knock that off. The thing about I was in the hospital one in 2016 because my foster mother just died. And I'm being spiritual and everything. They asked me, do you ever think of death? And I was like, all the time, because you don't ever know when you're going. And I told the hospital that for me, death is just another adventure, because when you die, for me, my belief is you could be reincarnated through Jesus Christ. I'm actually a priest, a Melchizedek priest at Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. So my belief was that, and I was put in the hospital voluntarily because of that, which I understand because I was depressed. And they said I was laughing because I was on the phone with my mother as she was dying. So for me, she wanted to hear my laugh, and that's what I did. The thing about the plan with my brother is there was never a plan. There was nothing like that. The thing that they put me in is because I said throw the brick at him, is a term that I grew up with in foster care, meant throw him in jail, basically. Like, you throw the book. It was a term that my foster mother taught us, basically. So when I said that, they thought it meant, and I told them in the here, it was a figure of speech. It was not literal. It was a figure of speech.
Captain, do you have any questions for the appellant?
I do.
Does the board have questions?
Dr. Conroy? Do you have any current documentation from your therapist?
I do have an appointment right here for my doctor.
Right, but what I mean to show?
They were trying to work on it, and I talked to Bill, and Bill said to give him 2 more weeks to get everything.
Yeah, unfortunately, that doesn't help us today. In my review of the medical records that were submitted with reference to your Bay State treatment, you first were presented to the emergency room there, and you were there for a couple of days.
Yes.
And then you were admitted to the inpatient unit, and you were there for about 5 days.
All voluntarily.
Yeah. And during that period of time where you were being evaluated and treated, they felt, in terms of their discharge summary, that you had bipolar disorder. And the description in that report, to my read, is actually consistent with bipolar disorder. It appears that you were experiencing a manic episode at that time.
Can you elaborate what manic is for me?
Yeah, it's when you have, and you described some of it yourself. I'm surprised that your therapist didn't elaborate on that more. But when you have high energy in excess of what the situation would normally have a person produce, and you have unusual thoughts and racing thoughts and lots of thoughts and unusual thoughts, that's consistent with what in psychiatry we would call a manic episode.
Is that good or bad?
It's neither good or bad. It's a medical condition, and from my perspective as a psychiatrist, I would be treating you with that because it tends to be a condition that can recur, either precipitated by stress or sometimes just spontaneously, because kind of circuits get kind of confused in your brain. And the best way we know currently for taking care of that is to have a person on what's called a mood stabilizing medication. And I know at one point in time, the one record that we had from the clinic from 2020, the person that you saw then started you on a very low dose of a medicine called Depakote, which is a mood stabilizer.
Okay.
But that dose would have been insufficient to treat the condition, and I'm not sure why that dose wasn't titrated up to a therapeutic dose and why you weren't maintained on that.
That's something I would like to know as well myself.
Yeah.
The psychiatrist at Hockenheimer Valley, she was like, I'm just giving you this medicine. You don't have to take it at all. She's like, I'm giving it to you because your family wants you on it.
Yeah, that doesn't make good sense to me.
I honestly understand that. Like I said, I grew up in foster care and my whole life, and I never really got to meet any of my family. Mm-hmm. And like everything that they're saying, like, is shocking to me because I was like, I never really met. Like, that's just on his shield. Well, like, this is the first time I'm actually being spending time with my family.
Okay. Yeah, that description with the Bay State records, even with my not paying any attention to what they gave as diagnoses, just kind of the written description of how you presented at the time, convinces me that that was a manic episode. Is the man you're seeing now as a therapist a doctor, or what are his credentials?
He's a doctor.
He's an MD or a PhD?
I think he's a PhD.
Okay, because he can't prescribe. And my concern is you deserve, as just a good person, a very complete and comprehensive evaluation by a psychiatrist to not only review your history, but to talk to you about your history and to clarify for you if there is a psychiatric diagnosis or not. There is no such thing as static depression.
Okay, because that's what he was like describing it to me.
Yeah,
there
is no such diagnosis. So those are my concerns. I would have felt more comfortable if I had some more recent documentation from a psychiatrist. So my suggestion to you is when you go back to your clinic, ask to be evaluated by a psychiatrist, and maybe a psychiatrist different from the woman psychiatrist you saw, who doesn't seem like she clarified things for you specifically.
Yeah, it just made me ask more questions.
Yeah.
And it was like, am I a monster? Like, reading this makes me feel like a monster.
You're not a monster, but it does raise some concerns for me that that you need more information in order for you to make a good decision about yourself and your ongoing medical treatment from a behavioral health perspective.
Sorry.
Other questions? Seeing none, sir, do you have any other witnesses?
My mother's downstairs. I don't know if you wanted to talk to her.
It's up to you.
So, honestly, whatever you guys want to get.
Okay. Would you like to make a closing statement?
Yes. Going by what you probably heard, and I know it's a lot to think about, but even if I don't get it, like, my goal is to actually work at Brings eventually. I know the guy's been waiting for me for 3 years. And he's, every time I talk to him, he's like, hey, did you get it yet? And I was like, nah, not yet. But I do want to let you know that I am working hard to actually get where I'm supposed to be. Even if I don't get it today, would I be able to get it in the future when I'm on the right path? Again, I just want to ask that. I'm sorry, I'm not really good at
it. It's okay, sir. You are allowed by statute to apply once every 12 months.
So you applied 21, so fine.
So we're well past 12 months. Captain, would you like to make a closing statement?
Just that I would be in the position of the issuing authority that I'm glad to hear that the appellant is making efforts to improve his situation and circumstances and understand who he is as a person, that we still have concerns that he is not there yet, met that bar. We would still be concerned and hopeful that he would continue to earn that metric before he was allowed to be given a temporary prison term.
Thank you, Captain. Brief factual, please.
This is a denial by the Manchester Police Department. The denial is for suitability. The basis of the denial was the PD, after the application, received calls from an FBI agent concerned about the appellant's mental health, which came from family members, and him receiving a pistol permit. In 2016, there was a, based on the appellant's testimony, a voluntary committal for approximately 8 days at Bay State Medical Center for possible suicidal or homicidal?
Mostly suicidal.
Okay. He has other, probably, and right now, there has been recent incidents involving some family members. There have been no, he has no arrests that resulted in convictions. At this point, though, the appellant is not able to provide us any medical records that provide a clear picture of where the appellant is, which is probably my biggest concern.
Okay.
But it looks like he is working hard to get himself in a very good place.
Comments by the board?
Just that I just want to say that you presented very well today, and please consider my earlier remarks to you. You deserve a high quality psychiatric assessment, and whether you can get that at your current clinic or you want to go to another facility such as the Institute of Living, which is, if you live in Manchester, that's fairly close. If you choose to reapply in the future, I would just make sure that you get a high quality psychiatric assessment. Get the report in writing. You're entitled to have it in writing, and you're entitled to a description by that evaluating psychiatrist of what he or she saw, found, decided in words that you understand, and you should ask whatever questions you have then and there, and you deserve simple, straightforward answers to those questions.
Any comments? Seeing none, Dr. Conrad.
I'm going to vote for the issuing authority at this time. I appreciate, as I said, the appellant's presentation here today, but I do have the same concerns as the captain in terms of your suitability right now.
Attorney Sinetti.
Echoing what Dr. Conrad said, I think considering all the circumstances, that at this time it's best for you, your family, and the community that we uphold the decision of the appellate authority, issuing authority. You can, at some point in the future, reapply, as was indicated by the chairman, and it would be helpful for us to have the benefit of the psychiatric examination that Dr. Conrad indicates you should get, so we can make a better informed decision as to your mental state.
I'll leave that to
you. Thank you.
Mr. Gray?
Issuing authority.
Colonel Overturf?
Issuing authority at this time.
Ms. Johnson?
Issuing authority.
Chief Rosenzweig?
Issuing authority.
Chair votes issuing authority. Thank you both.
Thank you.